Blog Talk Radio.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it. Sing out. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven.
Come on.
Before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people will see his glory. Oh, we want to see your glory, God.
Hallelujah, you are live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. We're broadcasting live out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. We welcome all the listeners back to the regularly scheduled Sunday segment. And we have breaking news as well as an update on the rapture prophecy, the rapture prophecy from the Lord, and also comes with a warning from our Lord. And we know that consistently throughout the Bible that Jesus warned that we are to watch and be ready, good and faithful servants, for a job well done. In the studio, on phone, from California, we have Pastor Jose from the California Altar, and also from New York, Pastor Nilda Mayo from the New York Altar. and Pastor Albanus Katira from the Maryland altar. And we thank the Lord for the precious pastor's time and contribution to the work of the Lord. We're going to play the segment, the recent live segment that was broadcast over both the internet and global airwaves as well, of the rapture prophecy to the church. And this is critical because in the prophecy, as we know throughout the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, the Lord is very consistent. The thread is very consistent. As we saw in the days of Noah, a very small group entered the ark. As we saw in Sodom and Gomorrah, a very small group left the land of Sodom, Lot and his family. And the Lord tells us clearly that the way is narrow, the gate is narrow, and calls us to walk on the highway of holiness. There is a group of four, and just one example that we will anchor on in the Gospel of Luke, that enter into the kingdom of God. And we will be able to contrast that with a group of four also anchoring in the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, that do not enter the kingdom of God. So we will go forth with the message now to the global church. We'll hear what the Lord says as he's warning the church to prepare to enter into the kingdom of God, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And there is the warning for those that are not. And we will find this right in our Bibles. So get your Bibles out, and we will go to Luke, and we will also go to the Gospel of Matthew. But first, let's play the message of the Lord, a very brief segment, roughly 15 minutes, live prophecy on the rapture of the bride, the rapture prophecy, June 9th, 2000.
Praise the Lord, the mightiest prophet of the Lord.
Amen, Pastor Michael. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, Michael. Well, Michael, the Lord has spoken with me. The Lord has had a conversation with me, a very, very critical conversation that I would like to share with our listeners globally. You are listeners. I am going to describe this mighty conversation, mighty vision of the Lord. And after I describe, then I'm going to be able to read a one-page write-up that I've just finished writing on this vision. Now, in that vision, the Lord, the God of Israel, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he lifted me up and he took me to a place on the earth here, a place. And when I reached at that place, he asked me to look up into the sky. And I remember very well that when I looked up into the sky, I saw tremendous glory like the sun. Again, the glory I saw was so tremendous like the sun, to the extent that I could not stare at it. I could not look at that glory with my naked eyes. The glory that was shining like the sun. And I remember very well, in this tremendous vision that I'm releasing today, even unto the church globally, that as I looked up at the glory that was like the sun and I could not stare at it, I saw a lot of rays that glory was beaming towards the earth, and the rays the glory beamed covered the entire surface of the earth, up to the ends of the earth, all the way to the horizons of the earth, meaning it really encompassed the whole earth. That is when the Lord again said unto me, the voice spoke from heaven and said, Messiah is coming. And I remember so well that when I looked towards the left side of the sky, then I saw a flash, the glory, the big glory that was like the sun. Now in the direction facing east, flashed like lightning twice. Pya, pya. Flashed very fast like lightning. Pya, pya. Again, when I looked left, having heard the voice that said, look, the Messiah is coming. And when I looked left in the sky, in the direction facing east, the direction of east, the glory, the massive glory like the sun flashed like lightning twice. Pya, pya. And I remember so well that all was finished right there. Everything ended right there. And then God the Father, He made me know that the church was not prepared, that the church was not ready, even as this happened. And then sadness gripped my heart, the melancholy of the sadness that gripped the Lord's heart, He passed it on to me. And it was too much for me to bear. And I began to weep bitterly and throwing myself on the ground severally, weeping all the time and throwing myself down as to why the church did not make it. And so in this write-up now, this is what I have written about this mega vision. And I said, I have seen the tremendous, unusual vision of Jehovah regarding events about to happen to the earth. The Lord all of a sudden took me to a place at which He asked me to look up into the sky. And when I looked up into the sky, I was very stunned to witness the glory of the Lord so intense as the sun in a bright, clear summer day. However, as I looked up into the sky, I quickly noticed that the glory of Jehovah that was coming, as a matter of fact, radiated with great intensity and power downwards from heaven to the earth. The glory I saw radiating from heaven beamed patterns of glorious rays that emerged from the Lord in heaven and consumed the entire expanse of the earth. And I've written here that the rays of the glory were so brilliant that I could not face with my naked eyes that glory of Jehovah that came from heaven was so powerful that it ran across the entire sky. The rays of the glory shot out with so much intensity that it literally beamed the entire surface of the earth. As the glory of Jehovah radiated from heaven, it was so bright as the sun, so no man could face. That glory of Jehovah that beamed towards the earth was in a spectacular, glorious set of rays that almost went into a dome-like formation that covered the entire sky and engulfed, consumed the whole earth. It ends thereof. When I saw how the tail ends of those beams of glory of Jehovah touched the the entire horizon of the earth and all around, then I realized that no living creation on this earth will escape this humongous historic event. That is the point at which the voice spoke from heaven saying, look, the Messiah is coming. At that moment, when I looked towards my left, I saw the massive glory of the Lord flashing like lightning from the sky in the direction of east. The beaming of the massive glory of Jehovah that I saw happened in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. After the glory flashed twice like lightning, pia pia, in the east direction, I vividly remember that the Lord made me know that the church out there was, as a matter of fact, not ready, even as the Messiah came. In that tremendous vision of Jehovah, the Lord indeed shook me when he lamented that the church, which was not prepared, had actually just missed the rapture. That is when the Lord made me know how sad he felt in his heart that the church was not ready in the advent of the Messiah. The Lord Jehovah at that time transferred his sadness into my heart, and I felt the melancholy of his heart to the extent that I could bear no more. That is what caused me to break down and bitterly weep while throwing myself severally on the ground. I still remember too well that I wept on and on uncontrollably for a very long time on the ground while repeatedly throwing myself on the ground. In that vision of Jehovah, the Lord made me know right away that the reason the church was not ready is because she had not yet devoted herself to the holiness of the Lord, and neither had she embraced his unfailing righteousness. What clearly emerged out of this vision is the fact that I have heard the voice of the archangel himself audibly announce the coming of the Messiah. However, we should never lose sight of the fact that the Lord is saying that there will soon be a tremendous event that will constitute the greatest sign and wonder ever witnessed ever since the earth was created. This event will happen soon in the skies above the earth and will stun the entire earth in a manner never seen before. The rocks, the trees, the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, and the lakes therein. Needless to say, the Lord is grieved at the unprepared state of the church. In other words, the Lord Jehovah is saying that the Messiah is coming and the church is not yet mature, not yet perfect. She is still not yet without spot. She is not yet without stain. She is not yet without wrinkle to enter his glorious, perfect, eternal kingdom. Upon waking up from this mighty vision of the Lord, I panicked and felt very sad for the church because I have already seen the majority of them miss the rapture. I remember that when I woke up, I continued weeping and tossing myself.
Now, in that conversation, that mighty, mighty, mighty critical vision of the Lord, the most critical vision of Jehovah, the big warning that the Lord has just spoken today, throwing myself on the floor, weeping, gnashing my teeth, rolling on the soil, weeping again and again, throwing myself severally on the floor, throwing myself this side again, weeping again, crying that the church was not ready, throwing myself down and feeling the sadness and the pain and the melancholy, feeling the grief that the church was not ready, that the church did not make it. Well, I want to bring this to the attention of your listeners, that when the Lord in that mighty, mighty vision made me throw myself again on the floor, weeping, gnashing of teeth, again crying, getting up and throwing myself down, the Lord was essentially saying that this is how those who will miss the rapture will be at that moment. After the rapture of the church takes place, after the coming of the Messiah is accomplished, is realized, those that the Lord said the church was not ready, the majority I saw that remained, they will be throwing themselves on the floor, throwing themselves on the ground, rolling on the ground, gnashing teeth, weeping uncontrollably. Those who will fail to enter, they will throw themselves on the ground, they will roll on the ground, they will gnash their teeth, they will weep, they will throw themselves again repeatedly, severally. But the coming of the Messiah and the taking of the church will be totally irreversible, irretrievable. It will not be repeated. It will have gone like that. Those who have ears, listen to the voice of the Lord. Again, this is the voice that is crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, return to righteousness and holiness, repent of all sin, disconnect from the immoralities and the orgies of this world. May those who have ears listen to the voice of the Lord. The Messiah is coming, and this is he about whom the scriptures were written, saying, and I shall send you my messenger ahead of you to prepare your way. Shalom.
Unbelievably powerful. Shalom, you are back live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. You've been listening to the bond servant of the Lord, the Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, prophet of the Lord, that was promised to the church, a precious gift to the church globally, to prepare the church for the coming of the Messiah. And we heard a number of startling revelations that are found throughout the Bible and repeated by the voice of the Lord for the church in the United States as well as the church throughout the globe. We have many scriptures to run through for this segment, but before we do, I'd like to go out and reach out to Pastor Jose Bobadillo in the California altar. And Pastor Jose, this is a shocking message, one with authority. We know the Malachi 4:5 servant is speaking. We know the voice of the Lord is on the earth today to prepare the church. And this is a warning, and the message is clear. Many are not ready, and many won't enter. Pastor Jose?
Shalom, Pastor Lou, and shalom all the precious saints that are tuned in. Yes, Pastor Lou, this is a very, very terrifying message, very shocking message as we clearly heard that the church was found not ready, was not, is not, has not accepted the holiness of God and his unfailing righteousness. This is a message that should make you tremble. I know in Kenya, for 2 days after on the radio station, Jesus is Lord Radio, they canceled all programs, all regular scheduled programs, because of the shock of the people on the land. They cried in one after another, weeping and repenting for those 2 days. This end times revival that we are clearly witnessing, this mighty message of the Holy Spirit via his mighty prophet to precious people, is a very bitter message. It is so bitter that the flesh will never understand it nor accept it.
Amen.
Jehovah himself has come down from heaven to restore his church. This message is just like the rapture. No flesh and no ears that have not been completely circumcised by the Holy Spirit will hear this message. Just like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, when the archangel shouts, many will not hear this call. If you are not dead in the flesh, if your flesh is not yet crucified completely, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You will not enter on the day of the rapture. The flesh will not receive this call, will not hear it. But what you will receive, for those who call themselves Christians that remain, that have not prepared, will know, as we heard the mighty prophet of the Lord say, that you will be crying bitterly on the floor, gnashing your teeth. This is a very shocking message, precious people. It is time to accept this message. It is time to crucify the flesh. It is time to stop fooling around with the world, to stop messing around with the entertainments of the world. It is time to repent of all sin, the sins of the lust of the eyes, the adultery, the sexual sin that is running rampant in this nation of America. We need to repent, and we need to realize that our God is holy, and no sin will withstand his presence. We need to prepare ourselves, precious people. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming for a bride that has made herself ready. Thank you, Pastor Liv.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Jose. It was Pastor Jose from the California altar. We were covering the rapture prophecy warning of the Lord from the Lord's bond servant, Dr. David Awar. This is the prophecy at the midnight hour for the rapture prophecy warning. And we heard clearly the call to righteousness and the call to holiness. We will look at the scriptures in the Bible who have four profiles of those that enter, and there are four profiles. This is just a high-level view. There are many, many, many more, but anchoring in the Gospel of Matthew, and contrasting that also with the Gospel of Luke, we see a very consistent thread from our Lord from Genesis all the way to Revelation. This is a shocking message because we find that our Lord is consistent, our Lord is true, and that the church in the United States particularly has taken a very casual stance, has diluted the gospel, has listened to other voices, and have approached the word of the Lord from a mindset of carnal and carnality, such as theology degrees in the wisdom of men, as we just heard clearly, and again repeated by Pastor Jose, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is not a work of the flesh. The flesh needs to be crucified. The flesh is hostile to the Spirit, and the Spirit is hostile to the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying, come and be prepared. We have Pastor Albanos from Maryland Altar. Pastor Albanos, is there anything that you'd like to add before we get to the scriptures? Pastor Albanos, hallelujah. Are you with us? Praise the Lord. Pastor Nilda? Pastor Nilda Mayo from the New York Altar. We might have some technical difficulties with Pastor Albanos. We'll get back to him. Pastor Nilda Mayo from the New York Altar, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Pastor Lou. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, the peace of the Lord be with everyone. I would like to address the Spanish-speaking audience in the United States and wherever we are being heard. Queridos y amados hermanos, de habla española. Quisiera darle una traducción, un resumen de lo que hemos estado viendo ahora en este programa. Primero que todo, Pastor Lou, está con nosotros el Pastor Lou de Maryland, del altar de Maryland. Está el Pastor Albanos también del altar de Maryland y el Pastor José de California. Y yo soy Nilda de Nueva York. Quería explicarles lo que hemos estado escuchando. Muchos de ustedes ya han escuchado esa profecía que dio el profeta del Señor, que el Señor habló por medio de su profeta poderoso. Y ahora, si quieren volver a leer esa profecía, pueden ir a arrepiéntete.org, arrepiéntete.org. Y ahí puede buscar bajo alerta profética y ahí va a ver ese mensaje que se dio, creo, el 9 de junio. Bueno, lo que estaba diciendo, primero que todo, el Pastor Lu estaba hablando sobre la preparación de la iglesia y que si no estamos listos no vamos a entrar. Después el Pastor José compartió de su corazón sobre este mensaje que es tan chocante, que es un mensaje en el cual el Señor encontró a la iglesia no preparada. Y es porque la iglesia no ha querido recibir y entender la santidad y la justicia de Dios. En Kenia, cuando este mensaje, esta profecía salió, cancelaron todos los programas en el radio de Jesus is Lord Radio, de la emisora de Arrepiéntete y Prepara el Camino. Se cancelaron, toda la programación se canceló por 2 días, y durante esos 2 días la gente en ayuno, quebrantados, lloraban y se arrepentían por el radio públicamente. Ellos se arrepentían no solo por su nación, sino que también por sus pecados personales, por las fallas que ellos han cometido, así como todos tenemos fallas, y se han arrepentido frente a Dios y le han pedido que, bueno, salir adelante para estar listos. También Jehová mismo ha bajado del cielo a restaurar a la iglesia, dijo el pastor José. Este mensaje es igual como el mensaje del rapto, que si nosotros no tenemos los oídos circuncidados, no lo vamos a entender. Como dice en una de Tesalonicenses 4:16. Y si nuestra carne no está totalmente muerta, no podremos entrar. Y también, si eso pasa, te vas a encontrar, como lo dijo el Señor por medio de su profeta, te vas a encontrar en el suelo, rodando, llorando, lamentándote, crujiendo los dientes, porque el rapto pasó y te quedaste. Tenemos que arrepentirnos y darnos cuenta de la santidad tan grande de Dios y de su justicia. Porque Él viene por una iglesia santa, sin mancha, sin arruga, blanca y resplandeciente, limpia y resplandeciente. También está el pastor Lud, entonces volvió a mencionar que hay cuatro perfiles de los que demuestran qué tipo de persona va a entrar, y nos habló sobre el Evangelio de Mateo y de Lucas. Y bueno, hermanos, gracias por escucharnos, y aquí se lo devuelvo a Pastor Lou. Gracias, Pastor Lou.
Amen. Gloria a Dios. Thank you, Pastor Nilda. Pastor Nilda Maya, we thank you for your time from the New York altar. And for the Spanish-speaking audience throughout the United States of America. The prophecy was clear from the Lord, and we see throughout the scriptures that there's a dividing line, a critical decision, who enters and who does not. This is very clearly illustrated by our Lord and Savior himself in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Please open the scriptures at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is the NIV version reading Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 through 23. Also very similar in the King James version, and more color and specificity in the Amplified version. And the meaning is plain, clear, and simple. The unrighteous and the lawless do not enter. We can contrast that, Luke chapter 8, verse 2, this is Luke chapter 8, verse 2, on those that enter. And we find Mary Magdalene in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. That's Luke chapter 8, verse 2. We find later in John chapter 20, verse 18, that Mary is the one who went to the disciples with the resurrection news. I have seen the Lord, she said, and told them that he said these things to her. That's the same Mary Magdalene of whom the seven demons were driven out. And don't we know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's Hebrews chapter 12, 14. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Mary Magdalene, from whom seven demons were driven out, had seen the Lord. Mary Magdalene shows up again and again in scriptures, and she is one with the delivering power. We see that she's delivered of seven demons, and she's one to contrast versus the lawless. For don't we know that when we're delivered, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Very powerful. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. We won't read through all of the scripture, but Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, we find Zacchaeus, the tax collector, repenting. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, repents, restores all that he's taken, promises not to do so again. He walks righteous, restores everything. And Zacchaeus, he enters the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 23, verse 32 to 43. This is the story, the heartbreaking story of the thieves on the cross, of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. And there's also a beautiful, beautiful, outstanding news from the Lord. We find one of the thieves repents, and that very day, Jesus says to him, "You will be with me in paradise." One thief repents. He enters the kingdom of God. We heard it from the mouth of our Lord and Savior. The other thief, he's not repenting. He's struggling in the flesh. He's rebuking and vilifying the Lord, saying, "If you are the Lord, get us down from here." His eyes are focused on the earth and the things of the flesh. He does not enter, but the thief who repents, calls upon the name of the Lord, that very day, the Messiah says, he will be with him in paradise. And finally, just four examples, four scriptures. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, we find the Roman centurion. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. And again in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, but specifically Luke chapter 7, verse 1 through 10, we have the profile of another. Here we have a Roman centurion. He is not Jewish. He is not part of the synagogue. He is not welcomed in Jerusalem. He is an invader. He is an occupier. Many of the Jews found them to be the oppressors and the enemy. Not much different than Zacchaeus the tax collector, probably not much different than the thief on the cross. But this powerful Roman centurion who was on the outside, who looked to our Lord and Savior to bring healing to his family, didn't even require a physical visitation. And Jesus says he finds no such faith at all comparable in all of Israel. Here's a Roman centurion entering into the kingdom of God, a righteous centurion, respected by the community as well, for both inside and outside. We find in Acts chapter 10, verse 22, very brief scripture. Read Acts chapter 10, verse 22. We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. a holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. That's Acts chapter 10, verse 22. A Roman centurion, righteous and God-fearing, similar to the Roman centurion in chapter 7 of Luke, verses 1 through 10. These are the profile. These are the specific profiles and consistent qualities and thread that you will see throughout the Gospels, throughout the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, of the precious saints of the Lord that enter into the kingdom of God. Now, many would throw out the demoniacs and say they have a storied history. And the Lord says, no, and they enter. Some would look at the politicians, the tax collectors, and the villains and say they don't enter. But when they repent and return to righteousness, by the blood of the Lamb, they enter. Likewise, for the thief on the cross, that would be the equivalent to somebody in death row today in the United States of America. Yes, they can enter. They can repent and return to the blood, return to the cross, return to the Lord. That's the power of the message of the Lord. That's the power of the Son of God to translate us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it matters not where you are, because we see it again with the Roman centurion in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. He was Roman. He was not a man of the book of the scriptures of the Jewish synagogue. But he knew the authority of the Lord. He submitted to the authority of the Lord, the righteousness of the Lord. And his house was blessed. And in a Bible that was written from both the Jews and the Christians, and specifically at this time in Luke, the church was predominantly Jewish, we see a Gentile with the faith throughout the land and a righteous standing with the Lord. These are powerful scriptures and profiles, the precious saints of the Lord entering into the kingdom of God. We'll contrast that with what we find in Matthew, and the Lord shares in throughout Matthew, those that do not enter. And we started with Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And this is part of the warning that we heard from the Lord, because it's consistent, and consistent again from Sodom and Gomorrah with just a handful, in the days of Noah, just a handful, and we hear it again, and we see it over and over again throughout the scriptures, that not many do enter into the kingdom of God. Many people in church have taken out an insurance policy. They claim they call upon the name of the Lord, and they claim they believe. And don't we find in the book of James, in the Bible, yes, even the demons believe and tremble. But that does not mean that they've made the decision to agree with the Lord, to walk in righteousness and holiness. Don't we see just the opposite oftentimes, where they've trampled grace of God underfoot, trampled the precious gift of the blood and the cross, and have gone back to sin and taken the Lord's holiness and righteousness very lightly, and have diluted the gospel and have diluted the word of the Lord. We'll go to the profile of those whom the Lord says are not entering, and some of these are veiled, and yet others are plain and simple, does not require a theology degree, does not require any high-level skill whatsoever, for the yoke and burden of the Lord is light and easy. And we'll get back to those scriptures in a moment. But in the meantime, we did lose Pastor Albanos' connection, and perhaps we were on mute. But Pastor Albanos from Maryland Altar, are you with us?
Yes, I am with you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Go ahead, Pastor Albanos, please.
Well, yes, Pastor Lou, Pastor Jose, Nilda, and our listeners. I wanted to add to what you just say, the scriptures you just read. Today was a Sunday. You got on the street and you see that most people don't even realize how to dress when you're going to church. Half naked, immoral dressing. When you look at the, yesterday, I took my family to Washington, D.C., by the Capitol Hill, and close to the White House, show them. And you can see the immoral dressing all around the country, and people from all walks of life. And you ask yourself, do we have the fear of the Lord in this country? Do we have the fear of the Lord in our churches? And that brings to me to the book of John, chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, he was talking to Nicodemus, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And now, the problem is, we have churches today, they don't even fast. They are walking, no fasting taking place, no crucifying of the flesh. They walk in, they walk out. Christians these days, they don't even read the Bible. They are reading motivational speakers or books instead of the Bible. But I go back to the scripture you read, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, that says, without holiness, no one is going to see the Lord. So for us, it's time to stop abusing the grace, repent, and turn away from wickedness, because whether we are ready or not, the Messiah is coming. Back to you, Pastor Lou.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Albanus. Pastor Albanus from the Maryland Altar. Thank you. The Lord has spoken repeatedly and again recently about the most glorious day in the history of the church, the rapture of the bride of Christ. We heard the message of the Lord from the Lord's bond servant, the Malachi 4:5 servant, the mighty prophet of the Lord. The prophecy comes with the command, prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And it's also a warning to the church, particularly here in the United States of America, because the United States of America, as we heard, just with dressing alone, just with some basic fundamental 101, the Lord does not grade holiness on a curve. We have forgotten that in the United States. We seem to think if we're slightly better than our neighbor, we are therefore walking in righteousness and holiness. No, we are not. If that were true, we would not have needed the blood of the Lamb. Christ would not have needed to be tortured, crucified in the flesh if the Lord graded holiness and righteousness on a curve. Many in the United States are looking at their 401ks. They're watching them very closely. They're watching ungodly entertainment and entertainment empires very closely in the things of the world and lusting with their eyes. But are we really watching and waiting for that expected, soon-to-be coming of our Lord and Savior? So we looked at the scriptures in Luke, some beautiful examples that the Lord has illustrated for us. The thief on the cross, the Roman centurion, the tax collectors repented, Mary Magdalene delivered of 7 devils. And now we go to Matthew chapter 25, and here we have a contrast as well, those that enter and those that do not, so that it's clear to the listening audience and also throughout the land of the United States of America. Because if you're just tuning in and thinking, what do you mean we don't enter? We need to measure that based on what the Lord and Savior himself said. And again, this is consistent from Genesis to Revelation, but let's look at Matthew. When our Lord and Savior gives a couple of examples and parables, some veiled, and then some that are unveiled and unmistakable as well. The first is Matthew 25, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. We see the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. We won't go through all of those scriptures and the summary, but we'll get to the target scripture in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And we'll start at verse 10. But while this is referencing the five foolish virgins, but while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. Stop very briefly at verse 11, Matthew verse 11. We see the exact same phrase in Matthew 7, 21 through 23 that we started at the top of the segment. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? And Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. This is Matthew chapter 25, verse 11, of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. In verse 12, Messiah replies again, but he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. That's Matthew 25. We went to the target scripture, verses 10 and 11. But here the Lord compares and contrasts those that have the oil, which throughout the scripture represents the mighty Holy Spirit, and those that do not have the oil, or those that are operating in the flesh, those that are operating in the intelligentsia of the mind, those that are operating in the things of the world. And we know, we see it all throughout the United States and throughout the globe, a church that's operating in the flesh. You can tell by the way they dress. You can tell by their focus on the money. Or you can tell by the preaching of money. You can tell by the anxiousness once it gets to be noon and they want to watch videos or want to watch the latest sporting events. It's a dead giveaway that you have a church in the flesh where the Holy Spirit is put into a box and the service can't last any more than 15, 30, or 45 minutes because people have other things to do, versus those that are directed and filled by the mighty Holy Spirit. These are the ones with the oil. And as the church goes away to buy and sell, which is what we see today throughout the land, there's the actual buying and selling of holy water, and people are actually buying prophecies, although the Lord never sold one in the entire scripture from Genesis to Revelation, nor do you see any prophets doing that yet. For some reason, the deception is so great throughout the United States and the globe that there are those saints that are deceived, listening to false prophets, false apostles, and trying to buy their way and bribe their way into the kingdom of God. And so it is today. We have many buying and selling. And so for those that enter, those with the oil of the mighty Holy Spirit, and those that do not have the oil of the mighty Holy Spirit, how can they walk in righteousness? How can they walk in holiness? How can they walk in agreement with the Lord? For we just read through the scriptures that the Spirit is hostile to the flesh, and the flesh hostile to the Spirit. And we see again that dividing line that Christ gave in the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Those with the oil of the Holy Spirit are prepared and enter, and those without do not. Pastor Jose, if you're still with us out in California. We're going to run through the rest of Matthew 25, where the Lord details the parable of the faithful servant versus the unfaithful servant, and then also the sheep and the goat nations. And what the Lord has laid on your heart, there's a very firm and distinct dividing line between those who enter and those that do not. And it's the church in the United States seems to think that there's an insurance policy for going to church on Sunday. It's sort of like a fire insurance policy. Oh, we are good. The Lord can't be talking about us. Who's the Lord referring to? What can you share, Pastor Jose?
Amen, Pastor Lou. Again, I wanted to welcome all the precious saints that are tuned in, and I just want to glorify Jehovah just to be born again at this time and to be part of this magnificent revival. I am just in awe to be allowed to be part of this all, and I just want to glorify the Lord. And Pastor Lou and Pastor Albanos and Pastor Nilda have shared very powerful messages from the Holy Spirit. And we have been given by the Holy Spirit, by the mighty Holy Spirit, through his mighty prophet, very clear revelation on these scriptures. Going back to the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, it has been revealed that these are two churches and two similar churches that are alive today at this time period that are sharing a similar message. They share the message of repentance. They share that we are living in the end times, and of all the events that are happening globally that are pointing without a doubt to the times we are living in. But yet we notice that one church is lacking the Holy Spirit. And we were warned about this by Moses, and was later quoted in Acts chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. Again, this is Acts chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet." Notice that, precious people, a prophet, not prophets, not plural. "Like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people." This, precious people, is very clear that those who are not receiving this mighty end-time message from the Holy Spirit via the mighty end-time prophet, Dr. David E. Orr, is not hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Even though they are sharing a similar message, they are not being fed the oil to fill their lamps. So when the Messiah comes, they will be ready. They are not going to be ready. We need to separate from the world. We need to separate completely from the ways of this world and from all those false teachers. You can go to all the websites and compare them to a secular website, and they look very similar as to they have the very infamous donate button that links up to the PayPal account.
They are selling the message of the cross. They are selling the precious blood that our Lord Jesus gave for free. This message of the end time revival on the website, paretheway.org, you will not find those links. You will not be asked to donate money. You will not be charged at the entrances of the mighty end time revival meetings of the Lord, because they are the meetings of the Lord that are given for free. The gospel is not sold. The message of the gospel is not sold. This message is given to the world to prepare so that we may have oil in our lamps. The Messiah is coming, precious people, as you have heard from the mightiest end-time prophet. More than once in the last few weeks of these mighty prophecies of the rapture. And we have been astonished to know that the church is still not ready, even when the Messiah comes. This is, I can almost say, the last warning we'll receive to prepare. We need to take heed. The flesh needs to be crucified. It needs to be completely crucified. I want to share one more scripture. And
amen.
This is from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23. Again, this is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 23, precious people. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. This is also pointing to the rapture, because the Lord himself will come down to take his bride. And he will say, he will, the call of those whose ears have been circumcised will hear this call, and they will follow the Messiah, our bridegroom. We need to deny ourselves daily, precious people. This means the flesh needs to be crucified every single day. We need to be crucified on that cross with our Messiah. We need to deny ourselves, deny the world. We need to seek the things of the Spirit. Thank you, Pastor Liz.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Jose. Acts chapter 3. Let's pick it up and repeat it again. This is worth repeating. You heard Pastor Jose read through scriptures 22 and 23. I'd like to pick it up again, and it's worth repeating, precious listeners. This is shocking, but it's in the Word of God, and it's very important that we stay in the Word. Word will interpret itself. The Bible explains the Bible. And when we start at verse 19, we hear the message, and we'll take a look very briefly at the supporting scripture where the Bible interprets the Bible, and we'll see all the way back at Deuteronomy chapter 18 and Deuteronomy chapter 13 is the reference. That's important because we're reading in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Verse 21. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Verse 22. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. What people? The people of the Lord. Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 19 and reading up through 23 in the very clear New International Version, we see the foundation scripture that Peter is referencing by the mighty Holy Spirit is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15, 18, and 19. This is exactly where Moses was told that the Lord will raise up one from among the people, from their own brethren, and the Lord will put his words in that prophet's mouth. And that prophet will speak what the Lord is saying to the church. And if the church does not listen, the Lord himself will hold them to account. And as we get further detail in verse 23, anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. And it's the mighty Holy Spirit that opens our spiritual ears, and the mighty Holy Spirit that opens our spiritual eyes, we could see, and our ears that we could hear the voice of the Lord. And in the word of the Lord, we see a consistency that is unmistakable, a thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation, where the Lord repeats over and over again the message to his children, as he reaches out to the generation. Even today, the long promised and prophesied day of the coming of the Messiah. And so the Lord has sent his servant to restore the church of Christ, the church that has listened to all sorts of false prophets and false apostles all throughout the land. In the United States, we are littered, polluted, and defiled by the voices from the pit of hell with false prophecies left and right, and you can spot them a mile away. I like what Pastor Jose said, you'll see the donate button, but usually the bottom line is that the easiest line to go to is look for the money. But we know there was never a servant, no prophet in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible, is outselling the blood of the Lamb, is outselling the scriptures and prophecies for money. You won't find it anywhere. It's the Lord's work, and the Lord provides. We didn't see Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Isaiah, or Samuel, or Moses at the school of prophets at the university from prophet A, B, or C with tuition and a certificate. That's blasphemy. Well, we've accepted it in the United States. We even recruit it. It's in the churches, and the churches invite the false prophets. And sometimes it gets very murky, and it gets very confused, and the children of the Lord will get very confused. And Jesus gave us the acid test over and over again in the Gospels that the fruit of that ministry is the evidence of the ministry. That is the evidence of the seal from the Lord. He tells us that apple trees don't produce thorns, and pineapple trees, no, they don't produce coconuts. They produce pineapples. And the servants of the Lord, when they come, they will point you to the kingdom of God. And the messenger that has come is pointing the children of the Lord to the kingdom of God. what that messenger says has come to pass, just like we see in Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18, again in Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. And it goes on and on. The Lord is very consistent. And we see that the good news of the kingdom of God is preached to the poor. We see no exploitation. We see no favoritism at all. This is exactly the fruit that Jesus gave the disciples when John asked them, is he the one, or should we expect another? And Jesus very clearly said, you know, if it gets dark, it gets murky, or you get confused, just look at the fruit. Millions upon millions are entering revival in Kenya and more throughout the globe, whether Angola or whether Chile. That's the fruit. It's right before our very eyes. Can't debate it, can't dispute it, can't dispatch it. It is right in front of us. And you don't need to be ultra sophisticated to understand and say, oh, that's 3 million people repenting from sin. That's the Lord's work. Oh, terrorists have given up their guns and their weapons and their drugs. Oh, that's the Lord's work. No man could do that. That's by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. So we look at the fruit as well, because the Lord understands that for some, with the scripture and the time, and these seasons are dark outside, and we know that, and the Lord knew that these days would come and warned us repeatedly in Revelation and 2 Timothy and 2 Thessalonians, and the list goes on there as well, Matthew 24, Daniel chapter 9, in the days of distress. But all we need to do is look at the fruit. And many are looking for the coming of the Antichrist. Jesus says, what are we looking for? The coming of the Messiah. Many are looking for the coming of the global system. Jesus says, no, we're to look for the coming of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so we look for those fruits in both the United States and even in our own local community, because that's the evidence. We can't debate it or dispute the evidence. It's right there in front of us. Pastor Albanos from Maryland Altar, it's 7:17 on June 15th, 2014. It's Father's Day. We have about 12 minutes left in the segment. We ran a little bit longer, but that's the Lord, and we bless the Lord. It's his program. Is there anything that you would like to add? This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, and this is the Rapture Prophecy Warning segment. We heard from the messenger of the Lord, the Lord's bondservant, Dr. David Awar. Pastor Albanos, anything you'd like to add?
Oh, yes, Pastor Lou, thank you so much. The one thing I'd like to add, actually two things, is Daniel chapter 12 from verse 3. It says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness will like the stars forever and ever. Then, in addition to that, I'm going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Many of us Christians, we always say, oh, we are born again, spirit-filled. But the question is, are we delivered? You go to churches, lying, falsehood, gambling is in the church, false prophets are in the church. And if you are walking by the Spirit, under the counsel of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to know these people by their fruits, like you said before, going through addiction in the churches. I had one testimony that this lady, she was having some issues, medical issues, and she tried to get hold of the pastors in her church for prayers. And the first thing they did was to go to the book of tithe and offering to see whether her name was there. Since her name, she was going through financial difficulties, her name was not there, they refused to come and visit her. That's how, where the church is right now. It's getting to a point whereby fear of God doesn't exist. You have all kind of falsehood, immoralities, and pastors don't even rebuke sin. And you can't even hear the word fasting anymore. You can't hear the word holiness anymore. It's hard to get, it's easier to go to get your congressman to, than to get a pastor these days. Most pastors are not even accessible anymore. And it's becoming so shameful. We have decided to put the blood of Jesus on sale. When Jesus talked about when he leaves, God was going to send the Holy Spirit to the disciples for free. But look at the TV now, Christian TV. Buying of oil, buying of water from River Jordan, buying of prayer cloth. The list goes on and on. Still delivered by the power of the blood and the cross. Back to you, Pastor Lou.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jose. And that's the question. Are we delivered by the blood and the cross? Because that's the gospel message that our Lord and Savior left us with. We heard the scripture and the word of the Lord earlier. Pick up your cross and follow me, says the Lord. And the cross tears the flesh. The cross is a violent instrument of torture. Cannot sugarcoat that. There's no other way to phrase it. Jesus didn't say, pick up your RV and have a good time with me. He did not. He didn't say, turn on your TV and sit around your couch pillows and feed your flesh and serve the Lord in watching entertainment. No, he didn't say that either. He's talking about walking a life in the Spirit, not a life in the flesh, because we cannot serve the Lord in the flesh. As we read earlier, again and again, the flesh is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord is hostile to the flesh. Because in the flesh, this is the lust of the eyes, this is the pride of life, this is the lust of the flesh. These are the things that 1 John tells us that are of the kingdom of darkness, not of the kingdom of God. Pastor Nilda Mayo from the New York altar, we're down to about, we're running at about 6 minutes. Is there anything you'd like to add before Pastor Jose leads the listening audience to repentance?
Sí, gracias, Pastor Lou. Quiero hablarle, hermanos, solo nos quedan 6 minutos para el programa y no, desafortunadamente no se puede traducir todo, pero sí quiero darles algo importante que hablaron aquí, que está en Hechos, vayan a sus Biblias, en Hechos 3, y vayan al capítulo del 19, empezando en el 19, y dice así, por tanto arrepentíos y convertíos para que sean borrados vuestros pecados, de modo que de la presencia del Señor vengan tiempos de refrigerio, y que Él envíe a Cristo Jesús, quien fue previamente designado. A Él, además, el cielo le debía recibir hasta los tiempos de la restauración de las cosas de las cuales habló Dios por boca de sus santos profetas desde tiempos antiguos. Porque ciertamente Moisés dijo, el Señor vuestro Dios os levantará de entre ustedes un hermano, un profeta como yo, y él, a él le escucharás en todas las cosas que os hable. Y sucederá que cualquier persona que no escuche a aquel profeta será desarraigada del pueblo. Hermanos, esta es una... En realidad, esta escritura está hablando del tiempo que estamos viviendo ahora y del poder que estamos en el Señor. Gracias por escucharnos y la semana entrante también sintonice con nosotros y manténganse en santidad, en justicia, para prepararse para entrar al reino de Dios. La carne nunca entrará al reino de Dios, solo el Espíritu, sirviéndole al Señor y caminando en la vía de la santidad. Gracias, hermano. Back to you, Pastor.
Gloria a Dios, Pastor Hilda. Pastor Jose, we have about 4 minutes before we open up and for the listeners to repent and return from the Lord. If you would lead them in prayer, I want to remind the listeners, and we bless the Lord for you, and we thank God for all the listeners that are hearing the word of the Lord, that there are many resources that are free and available. They're all free, in fact. You will find them at repentandprepareTheWay.org. That's www.repentandprepareTheWay.org. You will also find a streaming live internet radio 24/7 with teachings and oracles and MP3s at JesusIsLordRadio.info. That's one word, JesusIsLordRadio, and then .info for MP3s of the Lord and teachings as well. All the resources are free, everything, no love offering, no love gift, no spam, no fooling. It's the work of the Lord. And with that, Pastor Jose, if you will, I know there's many listeners whose hearts have been touched by the message of the Lord and want to return to the Lord and righteousness and holiness. Would you lead them to the Lord, please, in repentance?
Amen. Amen. Yes, precious saints, you can start with, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I repent of all my sins. Please wash my sins with the precious blood of Jesus today. I turn away from all sin, and I receive you into my heart today as my Lord and Savior. Please write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and please send me your Holy Spirit to help me live in holiness and establish your word in my heart and protect my heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, I am born again today. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. And we thank Pastor Albanos from the Maryland altar. Thank you for your time. The Lord bless you. And also Pastor Nilda Mayo from the New York altar. God bless you. Thank you for sharing also with the Spanish listening audience. Thank you, Pastor Jose, from the California altar and sharing with the Lord his place. We bless the Lord for the mighty end time prophet and all of the content and material that has been graciously provided here to the United States of America, that has been hostile to the word. And yet we know where the iniquity abounds, the grace of our Lord God and Savior abounds all the more. For we're under open heavens, and that whom we have rejected, and the cornerstone that has been rejected, he is now the cornerstone of our church. And the prophet we have rejected in the United States is, of course, now and has been the prophet of the Lord, the one to bring the church back into repentance to prepare for the coming of the Messiah, to prepare the church. And we're very grateful and very thankful, and we bless the Lord for that. It is 7:30 in Eastern time, and we will close. We thank the Lord. We will be, again, available as the Lord leads for the Wednesday evening segment. And until then, shalom, shalom.
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 Shalom.